This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking with Judith Finlinson about the book, her new book, You Are What Your Grandparents Ate, and there's some fascinating science in here. You were talking about the both parents needing to adopt a healthy lifestyle before conceiving a baby. So the both sides really need to take super care nutritionally, exercise-wise. How does the science run into that?
Well, the science shows that really the area that there are certain areas that are described as being particularly vulnerable developmentally, and pregnancy is one of them. Really, the developmental origins of health and disease really look very closely at the first 1,000 days of life, and that's when you are most vulnerable to the environmental impacts that will set you up to possibly be more vulnerable to chronic disease as an adult. So the things that happen during those first 1,000 days are very important, and they're particularly important around the time of conception and during pregnancy. So I have a lot of, it may sound like there's a lot of bad news in this book, but there's also a lot of kind of good news and very solid advice about what you can do to really offset some of the potential vulnerabilities. There's a whole section, for instance, on nutrition during pregnancy and supporting your gene expression while you're pregnant with things like healthy fat and, of course, folate and iron and all of those things, but also through the stages of breastfeeding and making sure that you support, for instance, things like nobody thinks about the placenta. I know when I was pregnant, I never occurred to me that my placenta was important. But actually, the scientists who look at this are now seeing that the placenta also needs to be nourished and to be kept in top form because, for instance, it serves as the lungs and kidneys for the fetus, and it provides the nutrients that a growing baby receives. So there's just a whole lot of science that really looks at the whole package of things that go on throughout life, but particularly during the first 1,000 days to ensure that good health is kind of promoted at the baseline.
And you have a whole chapter about the microbiome in your book. What importance does that have, and how does that connect through the generations?
Well, the microbiome, you know, it's interesting. That chapter was almost an add-on. And the more I learn about it, the more committed I am to the idea that the microbiome really plays an extraordinarily significant role in our health. I mean, we're talking about our health depending upon our gene expression and doing all the right things through lifestyle and nutrition to support positive expression of our own genes. But our bacteria have something like 3 trillion genes themselves. I mean, they have many, many more genes than we do. And nurturing those bacteria so that their genes function well really has a tremendous impact on our health, because by providing them, for instance, with good nutrition, like prebiotics, probiotics, we support our our gut bacteria in developing and producing substances that keep us healthy. Something like 90% of serotonin, which is our feel-good hormone, is produced by our gut bacteria.
That is amazing. And that is, we're actually at birth, we're actually absorbing a lot of that microbiome through the birth canal, aren't we?
We are. And one of the hottest areas, so yes, so it comes through the birth canal. One of the hottest areas of research right now, and one that's being very actively debated, is whether the microbiome is seeded while you're still a fetus. And it used to be thought that it was not, that you began to acquire your microbiome, i.e. your bacteria, through the birth canal and through skin-to-skin contact. They think this is also one of the big benefits of breastfeeding. Not only the probiotics and prebiotics that the baby gets in the breast milk, but also its connection with the bacteria on the mother's skin. But they're now finding, just to come back to what I was talking about, that they do believe, and some science is showing, that some bacteria may very likely transmit through the placenta into the fetus, and your microbiome may be a little bit seeded by the time you come out. And maybe we'll find, as the science goes on, that it's more seeded than we thought.
Mm-hmm. So there's so much that does come through our parents, from our grandparents. How much can we do now? What are some of the most important things we can do now to add to the healthiest lifestyle to encourage our offspring to be healthy?
Well, you know, I mean, there's a whole book here of really, mm-hmm. really complex science, but the solution is pretty simple. It's eat whole, nutritious foods. Really avoid processed foods. There's a whole lot of science in the book on the negative effects of processed foods, and the fact that there are scientists who are now saying that three generations of the standard American diet, i.e. people eating too many processed foods, are really responsible, are at the root of the epidemics of chronic illnesses that we're seeing throughout society. But it's healthy food, a non-sedentary lifestyle, so get off your butt and move, and avoidance of toxins. So it's pretty simple stuff, but in the execution, it may not be that simple to do because, you know, you may not be able to avoid toxins as thoroughly as you might like because they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying these major chronic diseases, which are so prevalent in society, even with those, we can make differences to our children and grandchildren by changing what we're doing now.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You can improve your gene expression through healthy lifestyle adaptations.
So an attitude of it being not just choices that I'm making choices for a lot of people.
You are. There are studies of Chinese famine that show, for instance, that the risk of hypoglycemia has been shown to be transmitted not only through the parents to the children, but also to the next generation. So if you can go back and nip it in the bud, you've eliminated the risk to two subsequent generations.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've taken science and journalism from all over the world into this book. Are there some nuggets from different countries as far as nutrition that really make differences in the health? You know, you're saying in China there was very, very poor food. Have you seen otherwise in other areas where there's a strong connection between the nutrition and the strength of that nation?
Yes. Finland is probably the most obvious case in point. And if you take, for instance, one of the markers of risk, disease risk, is infant mortality, high infant mortality rates.
Mm-hmm.
So the babies that die are obviously, you know, have an impact on that rate.
Mm-hmm.
But the epidemiology shows that the babies that survive in those similar circumstances are also at greater risk. They're often low birth weight babies, and that's a marker for the development of chronic disease later in life. But in Finland, they had one of the highest rates of infant mortality rate in the world. I forget what it was, but it was. I had to go back and check it because it was so high. I thought I'd made a mistake when I was reviewing my material.
Mm-hmm.
But by instituting programs focused on women and pregnancy and really emphasizing good nutrition, in addition to having a solid public health care system, they have been able to track reductions in infant mortality, and they now have one of the lowest infant mortality rates in the world. It's lower than Canada and way lower than the U.S. The U.S. has one of the highest rates of infant mortality. Has the highest rate of infant mortality in the developed world.
Judith, this is a fascinating book, and it covers so much. It's not just another health promotion book. It's actually explaining why we're suffering the largest epidemic in human history, and how we can change things just by our nutrition and thinking consciously about what we're doing for the generations to come. So I'd like to thank you for being on the radio today. I'd like to just thank you for all the work you've done. And if you have anything else to say, where we could get the book, You Are What Your Grandparents Ate.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure. As I said, it's not what rocket science, what you need to do. It's just good nutrition, good exercise, and a healthy environment.
Good. Thank you so much for your work and drawing this all together.